Light of My Life, the true-to-life story of men and women living their span of years in Pine City, a typical, small, Midwestern community. A picnic in the park, in Tongson Park, in Pine City, with the birds a-chirping, the townsfolk having a wonderful time.
Ah, this is certainly delicious food that's been sitting out in the hot sun for 7 hours.
That's T. Howard Pines, Jr., enjoying some of the food that's been sitting in the sun for 7 hours.
Some more. Here.
Suddenly,
Howard, what's the matter?
He falls noisily to the ground. This perplexes Dr. Duncan. You broke your hand.
I think I did.
Just a moment.
Can you break your hand doing a radio show?
Bite a bullet. Bite a bullet. You've got to continue. The show must go on.
Oh, what a trooper. Go ahead.
As Dr. Lowell Duncan, famed Pine City physician, talks to his friends...
It's certainly peculiar.
He finds them, one by one, falling noisily to the ground.
I must have bad breath.
Hello, Lowell.
Suddenly he is approached by the newlywed in town, Dame Edith, who married the yucky blob.
Dame Edith Pine Schlottermilk Duncan B. Stranger Muldare Lyle Brown Ballback Brown Molehill... Elevator guy who goes into the psychiatrist's office, Freud Wright Blob. How nice of it is to see you.
And the Blob as well, there with Dame Edith, his bride.
We want to thank you for the lovely pop-up toaster you gave us for our wedding.
I like waffles. Also, that food that's been in the hot sun for 7 hours.
As they talk, Dr. Duncan notices that... Mrs. Blob is growing faint, as is the Blob himself. Both fall noisily to the ground.
I don't understand this.
Dr. Duncan thinks to himself,
I must have bad breath.
Why is everyone at the picnic falling noisily to the ground?
I was going to stay around and eat some of that delicious food that's been out in the hot sun for 7 hours. But I think instead, I must do something about my personal problem. Obviously, there's nothing that the medical science world can do for me. I must turn to a higher source. I must go see a parish priest, Father Knows Best, Jr., and ask him for guidance.
And so Dr. Duncan leaves Tongson Park in Pine City and decides as he heads toward Father Knows Best Jr.'s manse, he will jog and...
get a little exercise.
Get a little exercise. And so he runs down the tree-lined streets of Pine City. But as he runs, of course, he feels the incredible shooting pains through his chest. And his extremities become... numb.
It's amazing that something hurts as much
runs.
Could be so good for you. Here I am at the...
Short of breath, he arrives now.
Come on in.
Knocks on the door and is greeted by Father Knows Best Jr., who earlier himself was at the picnic.
Oh, hi, Lowell. Excuse me, I'm just sitting here eating some of this delicious food that has been out in the hot sun for 7 hours that I brought back from the picnic.
Dr. Duncan talks to Father Knows Best here to tell him of his concern.
Parish priest, I have a problem. You see, are you all right? You seem a little white or something.
Well, no,
Father Knows Best Jr. Falls noisily to the carpet there in his manse.
Oh, what am I to do? Oh, what am I to do?
Dr. Duncan can
I must
can...
be B.S. Beyond scope. There's nothing left for me to do but go to the ultimate authority on breath matters. I will go to the airport and buy a ticket and fly to St. Louis.
Why St. Louis?
So I can visit the Masters and Johnson Breath Clinic.
Now, he will fly to St. Louis in order to meet with Masters and Johnson, but Dr. Duncan has never liked airplane food. And so we find him today sitting aboard the airliner as it leaves for St. Louis.
I hope I had a nice flight.
Dr. Duncan sitting in the seat and on his lap a basket.
Yes, I don't like airplane food, so I brought along some of that delicious food from the picnic that was out in the hot sun for 7 hours.
It was during the picnic that people first began passing out when they talked with Dr. Duncan. And now, carrying some of that delicious food with him aboard the airliner, he is greeted by the stewardess.
Oh, I see a stewardess has approached me. How do you do, ma'am?
It's time for dinner. Now, we have a lovely airline dinner for you. Some wilted lettuce with some junk on top of it, a cold steak, and some bullet-hard potatoes.
Oh, never mind. I brought along my own food, this delicious food from the picnic that's been out in the sun 7 hours.
Suddenly, the stewardess spies a deviled egg in the basket.
Is that a deviled egg?
I believe it is. Yes, indeed it is. A deviled egg. Yes, it is. Yes.
I love those. Would you mind if I had one, please?
Most unusual that the stewardess would ask for a deviled egg from the passenger.
Certainly. No, it's right ahead. Enjoy your deviled egg.
Dr. Duncan hands her the deviled
egg.
She partakes thereof.
Suddenly, the stewardess falls noisily
to the floor of the airplane.
Good heavens! It struck again. Oh, I can hardly wait to get to St. Louis to the Masters and Johnson's Breath Clinic.
Well, Dr. Duncan, hurrying to get the help that only Masters and Johnson at their breath clinic will be able to provide. For now he looks down and sees the still form of the stewardess lying in the aisle at his feet.
I've done it again. I've struck again.
Dr. Duncan convinced that it's his bad breath.
There's no hope for me.
That's causing everyone to fall so noisily to the surface on which they stand.
Until this airplane lands at St. Louis and I can finally get some help from the Masters and Johnson Breath Clinic. Oh, I hope this plane gets there in a hurry.
Dr. Duncan himself has as yet to partake of this food. Food that he brought with him from the picnic held in Pine City. Food that had been in the sun for 7 hours.
What seems to be the problem back here?
As he is about to enjoy
the food. What's going on back here?
He is suddenly interrupted by two strange voices.
Who are you, gentlemen?
And then he realizes...
I'm the pilot, and this is the co-pilot.
Captain of the airliner, and
we heard the stewardess pass out back here.
Wait a minute, shouldn't you be up there in front, flying this airplane?
Asks Dr. Duncan.
Oh, well, no, you see, I'm the co-pilot. I land the plane if Ed here dies. Right now, neither one of us need to be there because we're an automatic pilot. And that'll fly the plane for another 15 minutes. Then we got to get back there or this thing will crash.
That's why they then, after that time, will have to begin to land in St. Louis.
What's that you have there, sir?
Asks the pilot.
Oh, it's some delicious food from the picnic that was out in the hot sun for 7 hours.
Well, I think I'll have some of that potato salad, if you don't mind, with the yummy mayonnaise.
And so the pilot digs in and enjoys the potato salad.
If you don't mind, I'd like to have one of those greasy pork sandwiches.
And the co-pilot is going to have
yourself,
a
gentlemen.
Pork sandwich.
You know, we get very tired of airline food.
He brought along on the airplane.
Oh, that was delicious.
The co-pilot. Fall noisily to the floor of the
heaven.
Airplane.
My breath must have done it again. Oh, now what am I to do?
This airplane has no pilot, and it has no co-pilot.
The pilot told him that it was on automatic pilot and would be for 15 minutes.
Now, a couple of minutes have gone by. There must be about 13 more minutes remaining on automatic pilot.
Then someone must fly this plane. But who?
Dr. Duncan realizes he must keep his head, for he cannot panic the passengers.
I certainly would not want to disturb or cause undue alarm among the passengers in the Econo class section. So I'll get up from my seat here, go up in front. Oh, don't worry, everybody. The plane's all right.
Dr. Duncan.
I'm going to the bathroom.
Reassure
I'm going to the bathroom
everything
here.
Is all right.
There's no bathroom in Econo class, so I have to go up here to the front of the airplane.
He's taking
I'll be back in just a moment.
With him as
the
he
no smoking
as he
section.
Walks, he takes along the lunch from the picnic. That he has been carrying.
I'll knock on the door here to the... Well, of course, there wouldn't be anybody in there. Oh, there is someone in
there. By George, there in the cockpit sits the flight engineer.
I'm Ed, the flight engineer.
Dr. Duncan, I must confide in him.
My bad breath knocked out both the pilot and the co-pilot of this airplane.
And the stewardess, by the way.
And the stewardess. Can you fly an airplane, Ed?
Well, as a flight engineer, I can get us to where we're going, nifty. But I don't fly too good. Where are we going in this flight?
We're going to St. Louis. Do you think you can get us there?
I'll sure give it a try. I've got about 12 minutes before the automatic pilot goes off, so I'll have a little lunch.
Here, why don't you have some of this delicious food from the picnic that I'm carrying that's been out in the hot sun for 7 hours?
I don't mind if I do.
So, Ed, the flight engineer, what does he select there from the... There isn't a whole lot of food.
I have a tuna fish salad sandwich.
Tuna salad sandwich.
Where's that? Just excellent.
He begins enjoying the sandwich, realizing that soon he will have to take over when the automatic pilot goes off.
Oh, good heavens, my breath has done it again. This time, we're doomed.
Well, there he stands in the cockpit of the airliner, now with the flight engineer lying at his feet. He's aware that back in the Econo class section lies on the floor the pilot and the co-pilot and the stewardess. Dr. Lowell Milhouse Duncan, faced indeed with a very serious situation as the minutes tick away and St. Louis approaches.
I cannot panic the passengers, especially those in the Econo class section, because heavens knows they have to put up with enough hardship. Even though I cannot fly an airplane, I will get on the intercom system and assure them that I can. It'll be a lie, but it's the only thing I can do for their own personal safety.
And so, Dr. Duncan,
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll try to make them feel good. I'll put some of this food, this nice, delicious food from the picnic that's been out in the hot sun for 7 hours, outside the cockpit door, and they can help themselves.
And so he looks around there, all the dials and the knobs and the switches.
I'll never try to
say something that says intercom over it, and he lifts that microphone.
Hello. Those of you flying in this airplane, my name is Dr. Lowell Milhouse Duncan. As you've noticed, the stewardess, the pilot and the co-pilot have all been knocked out by my bad breath. And so is Ed, the flight engineer. But don't worry, I'm a very experienced pilot.
Oh, it's a lie, but I've got to tell them that.
In the meantime, relax, enjoy yourself. The stewardess will not be able to serve you, obviously, but I've left a lot of nice, delicious food from the picnic that's been out in the hot sun 7 hours just outside the cockpit door. Please help yourself. Thank you. Enjoy your flight.
Oh, that should be very reassuring.
Now, what do I do here?
Outside the door, he begins to hear...
Let's see. Now, which one of these things actually flies this plane? I've still got 9 minutes left.
Rumbling noise.
What is that noise back there?
As he looks around the cockpit, trying to figure out how he would go about flying the plane.
No, he seems to be out in the passenger section of the...
Here's a continuing noise.
He just opened the door here.
The door to the cockpit.
See what it is.
And gasps in disbelief.
Good heaven!
He realizes now...
All 252 passengers are unconscious. My breath must be so bad, it went over the intercom system.
The entire plane load of people now lie unconscious right outside the cockpit door. And Dr. Duncan concludes that he must somehow safely land the plane in St. Louis so that he can quickly get to the Masters and Johnson's Breath Clinic before it's too late. Or perhaps it already is.
Boy, this is sure a complicated-looking piece of machinery.
As he looks about the cockpit, he sees
the automatic pilot will be off in 4.5 minutes.
The dials and knobs and switches.
Maybe I can get St. Louis on the radio, and they can
give instructions to me over the air on how to land.
Good thinking, Dr. Duncan.
I saw Doris Day do that in a movie.
He now goes then to the radio, dials, trying to find St. Louis.
Wonder where they are on the dial.
And stops at there, that
wonderful
place.
Cape Hines Radio. Wonderful Cape Hines Radio. B. Mitchell Belding here.
Good heavens, I picked up the Cape Hines radio signal from Pine City and B. Mitchell Belding, their number one dish jockey.
You just heard Queen, another one bites on us on wonderful K-Pines. K-Pines plays more hits than any other radio station in Pine City. And we give away a lot of stuff, too. And now on K-Pines Radio, we're going to listen to the Doobie Brothers and Real Love.
Well, that'll be nice. I enjoy the Doobie Brothers. And I still have 3 minutes and 45 seconds left before the automatic pilot goes out.
The Doobie Brothers record on K-Pines is 4 minutes and 3 seconds long.
Oh, doggone it. God darn it. I won't be able to hear the Doobie Brothers because the automatic pilot goes off in 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
And then you must what, Dr.
Fly Duncan? The plane.
Once the automatic pilot goes off, indeed, Dr. Duncan will have to take control of the plane himself. And so he continues trying to contact the St. Louis Airport Tower.
Say, lovely woman, without your diamond ring.
I wonder if that's the St. Louis Airport. Hello, this is Dr. Lowell Milhouse Duncan speaking. How are you?
Just fine. It's the St. Louis Airport.
Oh, he's got the St. Louis Airport. Thank goodness. Now perhaps he can...
What's happening? What's shaking? What's going on up there?
Some advice on how to land the giant airliner all
I'm
by
flying
himself.
On automatic pilots. And I need some instructions from the airport. What do I do?
Well, first of all, you have nothing to worry about. Until the automatic pilot goes off. You'll know when it goes off because it makes a funny noise.
Apparently, I now have something to worry about.
If that's the funny sound the automatic pilot makes when it goes off, Dr. Duncan now is in complete charge of flying the airplane.
You're going to have to give me instructions there from St. Louis on how to fly this thing.
All right. Well, let's see. How would we start? Oh, boy. Take the thing you see in front of you and clasp it firmly.
All right. Let's see what's directly in front
Duncan
of me.
Duncan does as
I've
instructed. He grasps
That should
firmly.
Be the wheel.
No, it's the pilot's date book with some marvelous numbers in Cleveland.
Put down the date book. Grab the wheel.
Another very important thing is the altimeter. You must watch that at all times.
Oh, good heavens. Now, what is the altimeter?
Dr. Duncan looks around through all the dials, the knobs,
oh,
the switches, and hopes of
idea,
locating the altimeter.
It's got a number on it.
It's got a number. Oh, yes, I see the altimeter. I see the
Spots
altimeter.
The altimeter, that's good.
Could you tell us the number on the altimeter, please?
It's a 4.
This is sort of bad news, Dr. Duncan, but you apparently are flying 4 feet off the ground.
Dr. Duncan has checked what he thinks to be the altimeter and has reported to the tower the number 4.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. That's not the altimeter. That's the fire marshal's seating capacity for the cockpit. Oh, yes, here's the altimeter. I'm plenty high.
All right, now, the thing to do, of course, is to find out how he will go about landing this airliner at the St. Louis Airport.
First of all, how do I know when I see St. Louis? I have never been to St. Louis before, although I must go there now to visit the Masters and Johnson's Breath Clinic.
That's the reason, of course, that he got on this airplane to St. Louis, because he is convinced that his bad breath has caused everyone in his presence to pass out.
St. Louis is easy to spot from the air. You just look for the big arch.
Ah, yes, of course. Very identifiable. The big arch over the city.
All right, I'm ready for landing instructions.
So now, Dr. Duncan must concentrate as he listens.
This is the tricky part. This is probably where you won't make it.
Listens to the man in the tower.
First important thing you do is turn on the no-smoking sign.
Let's see, now, where's that switch? Ah, yes. There's that switch. I think it's on, but I can't tell because, of course, I'm here in the cockpit.
Well,
go check and then come on back.
So Dr. Duncan gets up from his seat in the cockpit, goes out into the cabin, steps over all of the people lying there on the floor where they passed out, he thinks, from his bad breath, returns to the cockpit and reports.
It says no fumar. Is that all right?
No, that's not enough. It should say no fumar and no smoking.
Apparently, the no smoking sign is burned out.
All right, now listen very carefully for our instructions.
All right, now, important instructions on landing in St. Louis.
You've got to screw in new light bulbs before you can land.
Well, obviously, vitally important is the turning on of the sign that says no smoking or no fumar before landing a giant airliner. Although, as you have heard, all those in the passenger compartment lie unconscious. Dr. Lowell Milhouse Duncan finds himself at the controls of a giant jet airliner approaching St. Louis.
All right, now I've turned on the no fumar sign and the no smoking sign for our English-speaking friends.
He is being instructed by the tower in St. Louis as to what he must do to prepare his airship for landing.
Here's something very important now, just before you land. Be sure and tell the passengers to finish their booze, return their seats to an upright position.
All right, I'll do that. Then what do I do just before I land?
Just before you land, be sure and tell the people it's 76 degrees in St. Louis, and you hope they'll fly your airlines again.
Boy, it's just difficult.
Those are the important
things. All the things you must do to land an airplane.
Many things to do. The reason Dr. Duncan is having to land the plane because the pilot, the co-pilot, the flight engineer, and all the passengers are lying there unconscious.
I so wish I were back in Pine City. I wonder what my dear friends are doing. My dear friends, the Hoosiers, I wonder what they are doing right now.
Strangely enough, at this very moment, in Pine City, Mr. and Mrs. Hoosier in the Hoosier House of Antiques have just sat down to watch Eyewitness News.
How much more of this do we have to watch, dear?
Asks Mrs. Hoosier.
Apparently, it's been on for 2 hours. We only have an hour and a half, and it'll be all over, Mrs. Hoosier. But be quiet. Christine is about ready to give us a new story.
Oh, you certainly are cut up, Jerry. Now here's some more fun news. An airplane is in trouble over St. Louis. All the passengers save one are unconscious. The plane is being landed by a local resident, Dr. Lowell Milhouse Duncan of Pine City.
My darling, you have turned ashen. What is the matter, my child?
Mr. Hoosier notices that Mrs. Hoosier has turned white as a sheet upon hearing the news about Dr. Duncan having to fly and land an airplane.
It's just that I've flown with Lowell before, and he has a deathly fear of landing. He always faints just before landing.
Holy cow. A new complication. Just before landing as a passenger, Dr. Duncan always faints. And now, being responsible for landing the airplane as its pilot, obviously, should he faint, it'll be curtains for Dr. Duncan.
Now what do I do?
All right, now you reduce your airspeed and lower your flaps. And then here's an important thing, Dr. Duncan. Just as you touch the runway, do something with your engines that makes a whooshing sound and scares the hell out of everybody.
All right, I'm ready. I'm getting very... Oh.
Suddenly,
oh,
Dr. Duncan begins to feel himself
I think I'm going to pass out. Now, wait a minute. I'm a doctor. I know I'm suffering from this fear of landing. I also know about people who pass out. There must be something I can do. I know what I can do. Passing out is where the blood rushes from your head. In order to counteract that, I will make the blood rush toward my head by sitting on my head.
Of course, that makes sense. That way the blood can't rush down from his head.
Oh, that feels better.
So Dr. Duncan now, on the seat there in the cockpit, in front of the controls, sits on his head.
Now I'm ready to land.
Just bring it in. Put on the brakes. And stop that big son of a gun.
Now, Dr. Duncan is having to do this while he sits on his head, for as you'll recall, he tends to faint when airplanes start to land, and so he must somehow keep the blood from draining from his head.
Now, don't forget with you, Dr. Duncan, down is up, and up is down.
Must be aware
that's
that.
A good point.
Vertigo could set in.
I'll have to push this thing up
to go...
If they go down.
Well, that is confusing. I hope I can do this.
I must have absolute concentration. Me, shut up. Here I go to land this big son of a gun.
So now, with total quiet, absolute quiet in the cockpit, Dr. Duncan concentrates.
Dr. Duncan, put on the brakes.
Well, here I am. I've landed right by the arch here in St. Louis, which is the home of the Masters and Johnson's Breath Clinic. I'm sure if anyone can cure me, they're the ones to do it.
And so Dr. Duncan now leaves the cockpit of the airplane, walks over the unconscious passengers, the pilot, the co-pilot, the navigator, and the stewardesses, all whom he feels have passed out because of his bad breath, and leaves the airliner.
Wait a minute, what's that? The airplane is surrounded by police, and they have their guns drawn.
Okay, you spread them.
Suddenly, one of St. Louis's finest tells Dr. Duncan to spread them.
Spread what, sir?
Don't try anything funny.
Wait a minute. There must be some mistake. I'm Dr. Lowell Milhouse Duncan. And as you can see, I have landed this plane successfully by the arch in St. Louis.
No, you haven't.
What?
You haven't?
What?
No, you haven't. You've landed the plane successfully by a McDonald's in Omaha.
I'll have a Big Mac and an order of fries to go.